Reach up and touch your ears. Say, Father, let me hear what the Spirit would say to me. Let it take deep root. Let it mature and grow. Let it bear great fruit that people will taste and see how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Okay. Okay, everybody sit down. Now, I can't preach about marriage today, but I love to talk about marriage. My father and I together have taught marriage for 111 years. So I want every couple to stand up. Every couple that's married, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Okay. Now, I know I'm in England. I understand that. I know that y'all supposed to be just a little conservative, but I just want to see if there's love in the house. Okay, are you ready? All right, turn to your wife. Best kiss ever. Best kiss. What? What? Oh, my God. Okay, what? Okay, good. Oh, my God. Hey, what? What? That jink. No, wait a minute. Roro, Ralph, best kiss ever. Okay, again. What? Oh, good. That's it. Best kiss ever. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anthony, you got. Show me. Show me. Anthony. What? See. All right, here we go. Here we go. One. One. Two. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Get back up. 1, 2, 3. Best kiss ever. Yeah. 1, 2, 3. What? Okay, good. Okay. Pastor Paul. Best kiss ever. Behind the veil. Behind. Yeah. Okay, you may be seated. Okay, I had to do that because the message today is so serious. Okay, I am. I just want to say this. It's Ron-Kay? Ron-Kay. I've been around the world. You have more moves in worship I was in awe. I was going, my God, that's the most incredible. What? I just, man, I love it. You are a worshiper. Free spirit. Wrong here. Okay. I love my wife. Next week will be our 43rd wedding anniversary. Okay. Yeah. I bet you Jerry Seville can't do that. Okay. When Apostle told me who all had been here the past month, I was going, why are you having me? You've had like a hall of fame here. Hall of faith. I love this man and this woman so much. I respect you so much in the things of God. You're both so authentic and real and powerful and relevant. I willingly receive from the two of you, and you can always tell the extent of a great man and a great woman of God, because when the Bible says, by your children you will know them, that best, by your fruit you will know them, best translates, by your children you will know them. And, Benji and Abby are true fruit of your life. And I know prophetically that they will go places that neither one of you ever have gone, because you set the platform. Okay. Now understand that probably one of the three greatest influences on my life was from Nigeria. Archbishop Benson Idihosa. I helped raise one of his daughters in my home, Ruth, who's now a great attorney in New York City. And it actually represented the girls. You remember all the girls that got kidnapped? There were about like 300. Yes, she was one of the attorneys that really raised awareness for that. But Archbishop Benson used to stay in my home, and he would order me to take him shopping. He never asked anything. Duane, shop! Yes, Archbishop, immediately. His home church seated 33,000, and he had multiple services. He birthed 5,000 churches in Nigeria alone, had 11 million people in his last 8 crusades. And 2 hospitals and 2 Bible schools. And then God took him home. And they were wondering who in the world would take Archbishop Benson Idiosa's place. And at that time, there had never been a woman bishop in all of Africa. And my uncle went, because he was under my uncle's covering, and my uncle said, the new archbishop is Dr. Margaret Idihosa. And many of the men in Nigeria said, it'll never happen and it will never work. Well, she's taken it from 5,000 churches to 10,000 churches. She's taken it from 2 hospitals to 4 hospitals, from 2 universities to 4 universities. And so I have a tremendous love for Nigeria. But I'm here to do battle over England today. Okay. All right. I know the 2 teams played yesterday, but I want to teach you this morning on the sound of war. And I share this very humbly and with great awareness of what I'm saying. And so I want you to pray. You hear the word today. Here we go. A sound of war. In 1 Kings 18, 21 through 24, there is such a prophetic announcement when Elijah is at Mount Carmel, one against 450 prophets. And I want to tell you, Harvest, and I want to tell you, ministers of Harvest, the odds in the natural are against you, but in the spirit, the odds are for you. I want to tell you, you have the enemy outnumbered in an incredible way. And he says, he asked a question in verse 21. Elijah approached all the people and he says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And this is the state of England today. And the people answered not a word. I want to tell you there's a sound going on. There's a sound. My two brothers right here with the horns, go stand over there. Go stand over there. I want to tell you, when you get to Exodus 19, there are three steps that God says he brought the people out of Egypt. I want to tell you right now, lift your hand and say, every day,
I celebrate
God's freedom,
that
he has delivered me.
He's taken me out of Egypt,
and he's taken Egypt out of me. I'm going to tell you something. It's a time, there's a sound. Now listen to me. I don't have to see the sound to hear the sound. Sound. You see, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. All I need to do is hear the sound. And I'm telling you, last night and early this morning, there was nothing I could get by other than it's the sound of war. If you don't understand, there's a war going on over England. There's a war going on. And if you don't fight soon enough, it's already over. I want to tell you, so he brought them out of Egypt. Number two, he brought them through the wilderness. The wilderness is always there for maturity. And I will give you this word to write down. The maturity, how long you're in the wilderness, is up to you. God doesn't want that. I don't want any of my children to have to suffer a long time. I just want them to grow up and knowing who they are. And it says, and number three, he brought them to the mountain. I want to tell you something. I believe that this church is in front of the mountain. Now, you're in front of the mountain. The answer is as you climb the mountain. The answer is as you climb the mountain. Cause the sound is on top of the mountain. The encounter is on top of the mountain. The Mount of Transfiguration is on top of the mountain. The greatest battle, Mount of Temptation, is on top of the mountain. And so he says, choose you this day who you will serve. And the people answered not a word. And then it goes on down and he says, then, if you're not there, and this is where we are, he said, let the God who answers by fire be God. Let the God who answers by fire. Now I'm telling you, the fire that's coming, it's not warfare. It's purification. Don't rebuke what God's trying to do. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. I need the person that's dressed in the most red. Oh, let's see. Most red, most red. Come here, baby. Perfect. Come here, little baby. Perfect. S- Stand right there. Perfecto. That's the fire. Everybody say the fire's coming. It's the God who answers by fire. It's the story of the two girls that went in for the exam. That was the God that answers by fire. You went into the test, and when you went into the test, one, all the answers, the other, no answers. I don't have a problem with the fire. For my 40th wedding anniversary, my wife gave me this ring. This ring is 24 karat gold. 24 karat gold. Now, I'm going to have to use, and my economist here can transfer into pounds, but gold starts at 6 karat, and it's worth barely $50 a karat at 6 karat. At 24 karat, it's worth $1,300 to $1,400. What's the difference in 6 karat and 24 karat? How long you're in the fire. This is the way most people do church. Man, I'm hurting. I need to be healed. Okay, I'm out.
Wow, that's so good.
Okay. The longer you're in the fire, the more valuable you become. The Bible says that we are made of six things: wood, hay, stubble, precious stones, gold, silver. Are you ready?
Yes.
Listen to me, for the time of war, half of you is going to get burned up.
Wow.
Wood. In the fire, hay in the fire, stubble, trash in the fire, but precious stones in the fire, more valuable. Silver in the fire, more valuable. Gold in the fire. Listen to me, the fire is your friend. That's why. Nobody wants to give you a job if you haven't been through the fire.
Right. Yes.
Experience. I'm not going to war with somebody that's not been through the fire.
Right.
It's like Bob Mumford says, I don't trust anybody that doesn't walk with a limp.
Wow. Yes.
If you haven't wrestled with the angel, you haven't been through some wars? Don't tell me you got my back. You don't have Jack. Tell me how many wars you've been through. This is what I want. Is I want some friends that when the fire breaks out, they're still standing with me. You don't know who's your friend until you've been through the fire. The fire changes who's in authority. In Daniel, the third chapter, I don't have time to teach this because I got to teach other. In Daniel, the third chapter, there were three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. And the battle is always over your worship. The battle, stand up. No. Just these three guys. And he said, you will worship. There's a war over worship right now.
Right.
There's a war over worship right now. Will you bow down?
Wow.
No, you got the wrong guy. I'm not bowing down. So I was, good God Almighty. And so he says, when the trumpet sounds, you don't bow down, I'm throwing you in the fire. You understand? You understand. So you better bow down. You'll never win at war if you're full of fear. You'll never win at war if you don't know what you really believe. That's why apostles saying, read the book, learn. So when the fire comes, I'm going to tell you something. In war, it always gets worse before it gets better. And the king Nebuchadnezzar, he was furious. The Bible says, he said, heat up the fire 7 times. Heat it up. When you don't submit to the system of the world, when you don't submit to the enemy who has caused impurity and defiled our society, when you don't submit, the enemy knows he's this close to defeat. So therefore, he heats up the fire to try to get you to compromise. You know what makes a great marriage? I will tell you what makes a great marriage. Not the good times. You celebrate in the good times. Right. It's when the fire comes and you bond. Yes. And you realize there is nothing that's going to separate the two of us. Every battle is from the outside. The two have become one. So he tries to intimidate, because the enemy is still Goliath trying to imitate David. You were David. The system is Goliath. And God realized it wasn't in any big warrior that could defeat Goliath. The only person that could defeat Goliath was a little young man that was 13, 14, that knew how to worship, knew who he was. And his question was this: what am I going to get when I kill this uncircumcised Philistine? I'm not going to hurt his hand anymore. What am I going to get? In his mind, Goliath was already dead. His head was already chopped off. How many warriors do we have in the house? How many warriors do we have in the house? Now, I want to tell you something. Apostle, I was raised in the inner city. And in the inner city, you couldn't run your mouth unless you could back it up. And I was a white boy in a black world. And I was always about this much shorter than everybody, because I never grew till the 12th grade. That's how I became a world-class track star. They could never catch me. Not ever. I almost made the Olympics. I went to the national championships. I was the fastest white boy you have ever seen. Usain Bolt, white lightning. The fire reveals who you are. I would have never knew how fast I was unless I'd been through the fire. And the event I was great in was the high hurdles. It didn't matter if an obstacle came in my path. I just hurdled right over it. As a matter of fact, it was the obstacles that made me so much faster than everybody else. I could run 60 meters with five hurdles this high in 7 seconds. What made me that fast was what was chasing me. But here in God, it doesn't matter. Sometimes when you see a little saint that has some age on her, in the natural, she's this tall. In the spirit, she's this tall. Now, my senior year, I grew to the height I am right now, and I stopped running. I came back to school big, and they said, I want your lunch money. I said, come get it. If you think you're bad enough, come right now, because we're going to be here all afternoon. The second time. The trumpet sounds. Beautiful. Thank you. You're on point. They wouldn't budge. The biggest soldiers came and grabbed them and threw them in the fire. And when the king looked in,
are you still standing?
The king says, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the world said, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. You want to know where Jesus is? You want to know where Jesus is? He's in the fire! He's in the fire! Jesus is in the fire! So the fire changes who's in authority. Because we can live where the world can't go. So the most powerful man in Babylon comes and says, would you please come out of the fire? Please come out of the fire. I'm begging you because I can't go in. Now let me tell you two other things. Two critical things. Everybody that grabbed those young men and threw them in, God struck dead because you can't touch us, the anointed children of God. You can't touch us. I don't care what anybody says. Who handles us is going down. You can't touch me. All those big soldiers were dead. King's looking. All his big soldiers are dead, laying there on the ground, dead. Would you please come out? Would you please come out? Listen to me. Now, they were in authority, and he was under their authority. When you've gone through the fire, when you've gone through the fire, you're the one in authority. And so, when the three young men came out, the king said, new decree. This is so prophetic, I believe. He said, now, I understand now that gold statue of me is not an authority. The king, the government said, anybody, new decree, that talks about their God in any way, I will cut them to pieces and kill them. This is not the church talking. This is the government talking, because we're the one who can go through the fire. We're the ones. Now here's the beautiful part. The beautiful part is the king looks and says, promotion time. God promotes who can handle the fire. He says, I make you head of economics. I put you over the banking system. And I put you as a prince in government. How many of you believe that story is about you? No. You need to say that story is about me. That story is about me. That story is about me. Me. And in this season of war, stand right up here on the stage too. You can be seated. The Bible says, and when Jesus is being baptized, he says, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. But he, step up one more. But he who comes after me, Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Ghost, the breath of God, and fire. The war is when you, how you win the war? And the fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place, in one mind, and in one accord. And in like a rushing mighty wind, and it was though tongues of fire. You want to win the war? Those two things are inseparable. It's not just needing the Holy Ghost, and it's not just needing the fire. It's when you understand the breath of God. It's when you understand the fire of God. Thank you, my little wonderful children. Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything. There is a season for everything. Every delight, every event and purpose under heaven. Go to verse 8. There is a time to love, and there is a time to hate. Let me just tell you something. Anything that robs people of their destiny in God, I hate it. It's not that it just is unfavorable. I hate it. The Bible says abhorred. That's even stronger than hate. Abhorred, that's an evil. I want you to say, there are things, say it, that I hate. When the devil binds anybody, comes after destiny, comes after our children, I hate that. I'm not a hater. I hate things that he does. But I am a lover. I love. But then comes a big statement. There is a time for war, and there's a time for peace. There's a time for war. I watched the history of this nation. There's an incredible movie that I saw, and it was called Darkest Hour. And it was the story of how that you guys turned the whole war when it looked impossible. It was just, you were going to be destroyed. You were just going to be defeated. But one man said, no. We will not try to strike peace with Hitler. Right. You can't make a deal with the devil. If you think he's going to make a deal with you, you are crazy. He'll make a deal, then he'll break the deal. And you'll always be backpedaling. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. I'm willing to tell you, I heard the sound. Last night, I heard the sound this morning. It's a time for war. To stand up for what you know is right. To stand up. Now, I didn't say a time for anger or reaction. I played sports all my life till I had my knees replaced. Still, when I was 40, I would play basketball. I loved it. I played it at the highest level. And I would play in these leagues. And if I could ever get a guy angry, I could defeat him. I didn't matter if he was bigger than me or better. If I could get him angry, he would be on the bench with 3 fouls in the first quarter. I'd just come in and I'd back him in. And I'd just go like that, and he'd jump out of the gym because nobody wants a white guy to score on you. And I'd say, here I come. Here I come again. I'm going to score on you again. He'd go up in the air, and then I'd just come by right behind it and lay it in. And he'd be over there, and I'd wave at him when I came by on the bench. How you doing? How's it over there? Because when you come back in, I'm going to do some more of the same thing to you. There has to be a confidence in the children of God. There has to be a confidence that you don't get pushed around. You just don't get pushed around. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If the enemy lets you... Yes! I will not be moved like a tree planted by the rivers of water. My roots are deep. This is my territory. This is my time. I will not be moved. I won't. I'm sorry. If you want to fight, if you're in a war, and I hear the sound, and I hear the sound. It's on. See, the enemy knows. You remember on the Mount of Temptation? The enemy comes to fight. The enemy comes to fight the devil. And the enemy goes one. Two, because he knew what was written. He knew what was written. I said he knew what was written. And number three, he comes and he tries. You see out there, look. See all those kingdoms? I'll give that to you. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. This is the church. He said, if you didn't hear it, I ain't bowing down. And the Bible says, the enemy left because the enemy doesn't attack where he knows he can't win. I said, the enemy doesn't attack where he knows he can't win. He says, I'll come back. I'll come back at a more opportune time. This is Harvest Church. You won't back down. I'm sorry. You were perfect. I just want you to know everything's cool between you and me. Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking. Okay. All right. Psalms 144:1. Blessed be the rock, blessed be the Lord, my rock and my great strength, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Let's see. My hands for war. My fingers. Again. My hands. My fingers. I watched you worship this morning. I'm talking about as a people, not the front row. As a people. He has trained your hands for war. He has trained your fingers, fivefold ministry. He has trained everything that you need for battle, for battle. You're made for this time. You're made for this place. You're made to be victorious. He doesn't say you're just conquerors. He says that you are. I don't know what that means, but it means we're more than the winner. Whenever there is a time of peace, this is what the Lord told me to tell you. It's time to make a plan, a new strategy. Peace in the middle of the war is time to take another look at what's happening. When God ever gives you peace, it's time for a plan. You need to hear more direction. You would see Jesus to disciples. He would say, I got to go away right now. What he was doing was getting a plan for the next battle. A great time of peace in your life probably means you don't matter. If you're not being challenged and you're not being battled, it probably means you're not doing nothing. I want to have my own business. Do you? You want to have your own business? I want to be an entrepreneur over several businesses. How many of y'all like that? You'd like to have several businesses? And only just a few people? Y'all think this is a trick question, don't you? Get your hand up. You know you want to have. How many of y'all want to have a lot of money? More money? More war. Listen to me. The guy who helped me get my ministry started in Miami, he had about 12 companies in Miami and about 12 companies in Michigan. And he looked at me and he says, I get up, do my Bible study, I do my physical workout, and my work day is done at noon. And he had over 20 companies. I said, what? He said, my business doesn't run me. I run my business. I have a series of reports that the head of all those companies have on my desk at 8 o'clock every morning. In 2 hours, I could see what everybody's doing. I make the calls on what needs to be made, and I'm done for the day. How many, he says, you want, oh, we got one person. I got two, I got three, four, five, eight, six, seven. Hey, the deal is the person who has a great responsibility has to be able to make the great decisions. And in order to do that, war demands wisdom. It has nothing to do with emotions. It has everything to do with wisdom. When the guy goes to war, the guy that has wisdom wins. Who has the most wisdom wins. That's why at 65, I can whip any young man. I'm just smarter than you are. If I can't physically whip you, I've got a series of friends that can whip you. Just hold it right there. I'll make a couple calls, and you're going to get whipped. I can't do it, but you're going down. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear the sound. Did you get it?
Yes.
If you do those four things, If you realize you're part of his family, I'm called by his name. I pray, which means I have an ear to the kingdom. Let me just tell you something. If you're in war, less talking, more listening. In prayer time, less talking, more listening. I believe, I said this the other night, there is a sound of a new beginning. It truly is Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It's I do a new thing. 1 Samuel 16, 23. And it says, it came to pass when an evil spirit from God was upon Saul. Sometimes God will torture your enemies to show off the authority in you. So David took his harp and produced the sound. He played with his hand and the spirits. Let me just tell you something. Your worship can overcome any spirit attack. Let's do that again. Your worship can overcome any spiritual attack. It calms it. That's why I don't ever go anywhere without my trumpet. Do you know I travel all over the world and they only remember two things about my ministry wherever I go? Not the illustrated sermons, not the miracles, signs, wonders, my incredible revelation. Nope. None of that. Two things they want to know. One, did you bring your trumpet? Sound. When I blow the trumpet, it breaks every stronghold in the room. Did you bring your trumpet? The second thing they always remember is, when you hugged me, I felt like God hugged me. Guys, God is love. Love wins wars. I'm a foot taller and 130 pounds more than my wife. A foot taller and 130 pounds more. I'm more than two of her. And when we get in discussion, she will look at me and I will have a great case. I will be poised for victory. And she will say, you know, Dwayne, I trust you. I love you. What? Don't do that. Fight with me. No. Dwayne, I know you'll do the right thing. I trust you. I love you. Game over. I see Mount Carmel coming. I do. I see Mount Carmel. But I do want to tell you, and I said this Friday night, don't listen to BBC or CNN. Neither one of those are going to tell you the truth about the war. They're going to tell you a version of the truth with God out of it. And anything they don't believe in, they leave out. Anybody that challenges them. See, they don't want you to know in America, in the last year, there's been 2.1 million new jobs. They don't want you to know in America, African-American unemployment is the lowest in history. In history. They don't want you to know unemployment is the lowest among all people in 40 years. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that there's prayer in the White House for the first time ever, every day. They don't want you to know our vice president is spirit-filled and speaks in tongues in the White House. They don't want you to know that more legislation has been done in favor of the church this past year than in the last 40 years. There's a war, but God has given us the victory. But God has given us the victory. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Give me my keyboardist up here. I want you to lift your hands and realize that you are in the army of the Lord. You are in the army of the Lord, and there are generals in this place. There is an army that it's like with Gideon. It doesn't matter how many, it matters how many are committed. It's how many who know their source and their authority. The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, and 300 people defeated 1 million people. I want you to lift your hands, and he has made my hands for war. Lift your hands up high and say, he's made my hands for war. There is no weapon formed against me that can prosper. There's no weapon formed against me or my family or my marriage or my children or my nation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. My hands were made for war. My fingers, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, my fingers, all those gifts by the Holy Spirit, say, are in me. All those gifts are in me. My fingers are made for battle. For battle. For battle. Listen to me. You're not going to be victorious. You already are victorious. For the victory is the Lord's. The victory. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't. No weapon formed against me, no, shall prosper. It, this is God will do. God will do what he said he would do. He will do.